Hey everyone, welcome to Henning the Shame Bag, a show dedicated to survivors of sexual abuse, child sexual abuse, male and female across the world. It's my honour to bring this to you. My name's Gloria Masters, and we call this Henning the Shame Bag because that is in fact what we as survivors do when we're able to share our story. This is a safe place for people to land, and one thing you will always hear from me at the beginning of every show is there's a trigger warning, and the trigger warning is because we are gifted with another amazing survivor who is happy to share his story with us today. So please, if you do get triggered, stop watching, go to the show notes below, and you'll be directed to some resource and support. I have with me today Mike Chapman, all the way from North Carolina. He is a founder of Polar Life Consulting. He's a life coach, and he's the host of a podcast dedicated to male survivors. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Thank you so much for having me, Gloria. I'm so thrilled to be here.
Oh, I'm so pleased you are here. Hey, so look, you're in a safe space. You please as much or as little as you're happy to share about your story might just help one or many of our survivors watching.
I'm glad to do what I can. Yes, I know particularly males are much less likely to share their story. And so that's kind of the goal in my own healing, is to share my story whenever possible, because I know hearing other men's stories helped me in my healing so much, knowing that I wasn't alone, knowing that it wasn't my fault, and learning that from other male survivors. And so it's so important to get that word out so those other male survivors can hear me and realizing, oh, I'm not alone, that I can get help, and that help is out there, and healing is possible. So I love sharing my story, my truth, whenever possible, so that other men out there around the world who are survivors like you and I can get the help that they need and step forward into the light of healing for sure.
Awesome. Thank you. That's lovely. So, Mike, tell us about your story, your truth, as you call it. You were obviously sexually abused as a child.
Yes.
How old were you, and who was involved, and kind of what happened from that?
Yes, well, my memories were repressed, and so I didn't really uncover those memories until I was 30. Before that, when I was 20, when I was in college, university, as you guys call it, I attended a Methodist church, and the minister there, the senior minister, took an interest in me, and then eventually came to my apartment, my flat, if you will, and started, I guess he was trying to seduce me. He started with a back rub and then ended up touching places where he shouldn't. And something deep down inside of me knew what was going to happen and knew we were not going to let this happen. And told him to stop and got him to leave. And I think he wasn't expecting that response, and he left. But that, I mean, from a member of clergy to do that was just so wounding to me, and it left me with tons of confusion. And I got Some help, not a lot of help. Didn't tell anyone right away, of course. But all those confused messages in my head were there. And then after college, university, I got married. And then after our first child was born, all those issues just came back up for some reason. And being confused, was I gay? All of those feelings were coming up during that time. And so I knew I needed to get help. I finally went to a support group and talked about some of these feelings, some of these issues, and I ended up reading a story about it was a woman who she shared about her story of being sexually abused. And the method she mentions, it was that specific method, something clicked in my head that had happened to me. And then I just broke down in tears. I knew that was truth being spoken to me. And it was just like a light bulb went on that this truly happened. And I talked to the leader of that group, and he stepped me through and kind of helped get myself together so I can get home, because I was out on a job out in the city. And he got me to get back home, and then looked into it more as to who and how and why. And I knew my father had abused other extended family members when they were all young. And though I didn't know the specifics, I didn't know the specific act, I then talked to one of those extended family members, and yes, it was that same sexual act, very specific sexual act that he performed on them. And so it made sense that it was actually my father who had been my abuser. And from the memory I had at that time, I was about three, when the abuse occurred. But busyness of parenthood and so forth, we had a second child as well. It wasn't until they got big and moved out on their own, then I started to look into things as well and find more of my backstory, talking to extended family and just getting little piecemeals, so forth from my mom and so forth. They had been divorced for a long time. But it turns out my mother never wanted children. He convinced her to have children. And then I was the youngest. And then as soon as I hit eight, he left. And putting all these pieces together, we were conceived to service him, basically. My mother didn't want children. And he convinced her otherwise. And then, as soon as we aged out from his preference, he left. And so she was stuck with three children she never originally wanted. It then came out that he had also had been abused. His parents took in a boarder for like a month, and he's got another brother. He was in the boys' room, and he stayed with them for about a month. And then last minute, he was told he had to leave, like right away, pack your bags, you're out of here. Very last minute. And we pieced together being this other extended family member. Yeah, that's probably when it happened. And the abuse started soon after that event. So we're assuming that, yes, this border person had abused my father. And that's when that started. And when I started reopening up all of this and seeing a therapist, PTSD therapist as well by this time. This was now just a few years ago, 2019. I started opening all of this and finding out that I was only abused actually much earlier at about 7 months old. It started when I was an infant and then continued till about age five. And then he had actually trafficked me to other men to sexual exploitation events from age five to age eight. And so many things, having worked through all those memories, for all of those, including when he abused me himself, I was sedated for most of that. So recreating that through therapy, all the muscle memories, and as I started dealing with the pain, going through it with the therapist, reliving it, opening that up, that opened myself up to flashbacks and all of that, working through the pain. I heard a quote recently that chase your pain and you'll find your healing. And that was so profound because that's what happened to me. I realized, okay, I couldn't just shove this pain down anymore. I needed to confront it. I needed to deal with it to get it out and get healing. And that's exactly what I did. And I had to work through the pain in order to find the healing.
Well, as you're talking, Mike, just full credit to you to have become the man you are today. Because, this is just layer upon layer upon layer, and the sedation and the intended, the intent with which your father chose to abuse and then traffic you.
Right. Yes.
I do have a couple of questions.
Oh,
Your
certainly.
mother was aware, was not aware.
Not aware at all. She knew about the abuse of the extended family members that had come out at a funeral that we both attended, and we overheard the conversation together, and only talked about it briefly after the event. So I know she heard it just like I did. And once I discovered my own abuse, I then approached it to her a couple times to see, okay, remember that happened? What did you ever think about that with your ex-husband doing all these things when he was younger to these extended family members? And she said she just couldn't wrap her head around it. So whether she knew, she had an inkling, whatever, that was me just putting out, testing the waters, see if she was interested in having a deeper conversation. And she completely closed that door. She was not going to talk about it, had no interest in talking about it, and it never came up. And then she passed away. She passed away about 8, 9 years ago.
And your other siblings obviously were used in the same way and abused in the same way. Not that you, I don't, we don't need them.
As far as we know, my older sister, she was killed in a murder-suicide with her abusive husband. That kind of hints to a whole lot right there. My other sister, she has very few memories of childhood, which also speaks volumes as well. And she knows my story. I told her my story a few years ago. It was very welcoming when you tell a family member, you never know what the response was going to be, but she believed me right away. She felt sorry that that had happened to me, but she could not confirm nor deny if that had happened to her. She had no idea. She was not sure. And we
And
haven't
look,
really talked about it since. So.
we know that the mind is going to deliver those memories when you are ready. And if you are not
Yes.
ready in this lifetime, then they will not be delivered. And that's all that is.
Yes.
But you
Yes.
know, Mike, the absolute confusion you would have felt, I'm feeling into this with you around finding out it wasn't just this at 3 years old, it was from infancy. And then again, you know, from the age of five being trafficked. I mean, all of that must have just felt like a tsunami of shock.
Oh, yes. Though, I mean, it was bit by bit when it started to get discovered, and but I was going there. I was the one putting the pieces together, digging down, knowing there was something there, knowing there was huge gaps in my memory, and then digging into it and saying, okay, stuff's going on, and I need to know. And finding that truth and getting to a point where, yes, the truth started coming out. And I, one thing that was very helpful, actually, 2019, what got me started on all of that was a documentary, Leaving Neverland. I don't know if it's available here, but yes, on Michael Jackson and his, victims, survivors, and then Oprah Winfrey, she did a 1 hour special after that. So 5 hours of content. And I was able to listen to all that, watch all of that. And then one of the things that Oprah mentioned was malesurvivor.org, which is a online forum for male survivors of abuse. And huge resources now been in existence about 20 years. So thousands upon thousands of men from across the world have gone on there and shared their stories of being survivors. And so it's such a wealth of information. And you can go there, and I did share my story and then talk about, okay, I've got this huge memory gap. I know something happened, but not sure what, but I got some weird memories, and these are the weird memories I remembered. And then I relayed one weird memory, and one of the guys on there said, you know, I think that was a sexual exploitation event, and then he explained what he meant. It's like, really? And then that's when it hit. I realized, so this didn't come out in therapy, this came out in the forum, that yeah, that was. And they said, yeah, that's you were trafficked. It's like, and trying to understand these terms and learning all of this as I'm uncovering all this. So there's names for this, that stuff happens, you know, just mind blowing. And yeah, not only it happened to me, and realizing it and sharing my story. Also recently sharing with a researcher. On trafficking of males and how that happens, and sharing my experience, and now that experience of being trafficked, sedated by my father, the excuses of where I was going, all of that is now part of this research that is being used to help other men. So it's amazing how much, and I talk about it in my own podcast, The Power of Story. That is so much. And the fact that those two gentlemen who were abused by that singer went on and created this documentary sharing their story, because they shared their story, I was inspired to dig into my own healing. And now I'm sharing my story and encouraging other men to share their story. And
And that's
so there's such
power.
power in that. Yes.
There is power, but it leads to there's so many positives and consequences out of that. So, you know, number one, I think you'd agree, Mike, when we hear a story that reflects some of what happened to us, it actually affords us a few things. One is the ability to feel less isolated and alone
Yes.
in this horror. And the second is that it's confirming and it's validating.
Right.
And it
Right.
actually has survivors feeling, hello, beautiful ones. I forgot to say hello out there. It has the benefit of having survivors feel, oh, maybe there is some truth in this. Maybe it's not just me having these terrible nightmares and flashbacks and situations where people think I must be making it up because he was such a nice guy or she was so
Right.
wonderful. That's the other thing to
Right.
bring to you if you weren't aware that between 28 and 32% of pedophiles are women. So this
Right.
is just
Yes.
a, you know, and it's time for that to be exposed more and more.
Right.
But
Yes,
Mike,
women can be perpetrators and
oh, they
men, males
definitely
can
are.
be victims for sure.
Yeah,
Yeah.
definitely. And so, Mike, just as we've got a minute or so left of our part one, did you have, once you had discovered all of this and learned what had happened to you, did you have people around you that were able to believe you and support you?
Yes, my wife for sure. She knew right away when I started having all these issues. She had known what happened to me from the Methodist minister before we were married, and she knew all the issues that I had regarding that. And then when all the new feelings came after our daughter was born, she was very supportive for that and has stood by me through this whole process. And now we've been married, we'll be 34 years this fall. So, still stands by me and is very supportive for sure. And my children know my story now as well, and they're supportive also.
Yeah, no, such courage, and thank you so much. Please stay right there, Mike. Hey, fabulous ones, you know, just the power of hearing stories like Mike's affords us some more healing in our own survivor journeys, and I'm just grateful to him. And he said a few things that I think are useful. And for you lovely ones listening and watching, chase your pain and you'll find your healing. And look, how true is that when you consider that as survivors, what we do is do anything to avoid it. And so that might be in the form of overwork, it might be addiction in the form of eating, drugs, alcohol, spending. And so I think that's really powerful because the quickest way through something is to work with it. So I love that. As usual, we will be back next week with part two. But in the meantime, I see you, I stand beside you, and I believe you.